Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.
Johnny, can you help me a little bit on the drums today? Now, Johnny is an amazing musician. He plays multiple instruments. He's our band leader, and he's been playing, I don't know, golly, like 25, 30 years. But can you use all of your skill today and just play the most obnoxious cymbal work that you can for like 5 seconds for us? I think about this when I think about 1 Corinthians 13:1, when it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. One more time, John. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would gain nothing. Love is the greatest. That's actually the title of this scripture portion. Love is the greatest. I really love to talk about love, and that's what we've been doing in our family devotion time at our house lately. We've been talking about love and specifically exploring the love of God. Will you say that with me? Exploring the love of God. Just type that in today because that's going to be key. But before we get started on this incredible topic, I want to pray with you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, Lord, with your love. We thank you, God, as we begin to discuss your love and talk about how deep, how wide, and how powerful your love is, God. Lord, that you would touch us, you would move us in ways that we didn't think that we were able to be moved in. God, I thank you. You know exactly what we need to hear today. And so we just pray that you speak to us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, love is so powerful. And we're talking about exploring the love of God. And there's a lot to be said about the love of God. We can't say everything that there is to be said, but I do want to say some foundational things. I do want to say some new things. I want to look at it from a new perspective. Love is mentioned about 759 times in the New Living Translation of the Bible. It's mentioned 174 times in Psalms, 52 times in Songs of Solomon, 42 times in the Gospel of John, 36 times in Proverbs. It's all throughout the Bible. God's love. It's such a powerful thing, and it's such a reoccurring foundational concept of the Bible. First, John 1:14 says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus was full of love. Jesus was full of faithfulness. I love this. His love, the type of love that Jesus has, is unfailing. It doesn't fail. And Paul echoed this idea in 1 Corinthians when he said that love never fails. True love, the love that comes from God, the love that comes from Jesus, does not fail. Earthly love can fail. Natural love can run out. We can mistake love for lust or infatuation, but love that God has, it's real. The love of Jesus is divine, and it never fails. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." I love it. So Moses told us about all the laws and all the rules, but when Jesus showed up, he showed us about God's unfailing love. It is by Jesus and through Jesus that we're able to see the love of God. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be able to see the fullness of what God's love looks like. What does God's love look like? What does it feel like? What is the implication of God loving man? We're able to see this and more through the person of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there's so many questions that are raised that the New Testament fills in the blank. The New Testament answers the questions. Who is man that God is mindful of him? Who is man that God even cares about him? The Old Testament asks. Well, the New Testament answers that question in the person of Jesus. The Old Testament begins the discussion, and the New Testament finishes it. David asked in Psalm 17:7, "Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways." And New Testament is the most beautiful show and tell when God shows us Jesus. Moses asked in Exodus 33:18, "Show me your glory. Show me your glorious ways, your glorious presence." And Jesus is God's answer to this and many other questions like it. Jesus said in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." You've seen me, you've seen God's glory. You've seen me, you've seen God's love. I love when we take a look at when something is first mentioned. Now, in theology, when something is mentioned the first time, it's called the law first mention, and we're able to better understand what something means and how to define it when we look at the first time that the Bible mentions something. Well, the first time that love is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis. That's right. Love is throughout all the Bible. But Genesis, there's a particular story that talks about love. And it's Abraham and Isaac, the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible, specifically when Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac, the son that he loved, the only son by Sarah that he had, the son of the promise, the son that he loved that he'd have to sacrifice to prove that he really was devoted and loved God. The first time love is mentioned in our Bible, it points to what Jesus would do and who Jesus would be. Not just any sacrifice, though. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. God loved him, and he proved his love for us by sacrificing him. The first time love is mentioned in the Bible, it is already pointing to Jesus, the one who would truly teach us what God's love looks like. Let's talk about the first miracle. You know, God could have chosen any time, any place to allow Jesus to perform his first miracle. But do you know where it was? It's in John chapter 2. The first miracle that Jesus performs is at a wedding. In an atmosphere of love, at a wedding is where Jesus first chose to perform his miracle. It's not an accident. Jesus, the example and embodiment of God's love, performs his first miracle during a celebration of love. I could just stop the sermon right there. But God could have chosen any time, any place for Jesus to start doing things. But he chose a wedding because God is all about love. God is all about family. For God so loved that he sent his son. It's family. It's love. John 3:16. Jesus started his ministry on a foundation of love. Let's start this whole redemption of man love plan at a wedding. I love it. Jesus said, in essence, "I want to do my first miracle in an environment of love. I need a little help," because when we first started talking at our house about exploring the love of God, it was during a devotional time with our kids, so I need to call up an expert. She lives in my house. She's extremely studious. She's my 9-year-old daughter, Esperanza. Can you come up here and help Daddy with this sermon? I I'm so happy that you came up here to help me today, because we've been talking about this great thing at our house, which is God's love. It's so exciting. It's so powerful. It's so transforming when we talk about what God does. And I think it's refreshing to get the perspective of a child sometimes. The Bible says a little child shall lead them. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's some incredible perspectives that we get into sometimes at our house, sitting around the living room or sitting around the bedroom. And so what would you like to say to everybody about exploring the love of God?
Exploring the love of God is necessary for your relationship with God, because God says that if you can't love the people around you, then you can't love me.
That's so good. You know, God's love is so powerful, but to some people, God's love is mysterious. They don't really fully understand God's love. How do you know, Esperanza, that God loves you?
One time, I was trying to go to sleep, but then I felt kind of nauseous, so I came downstairs and asked my mom to pray for me. She prayed for me. Then I sat down at the table, and I started praying with my head down, and after 5 or 10 minutes, I felt better.
So when God touched you and God healed you, that was something to you that symbolized that he loved you. You felt like when God touched you, touched your tummy and made you feel better, that was him saying, I love you. That was a way, a form of his love. So tell me, we live in a world where we're seeing a lot of movies, a lot of things on TV, right? And we see life. We see how people interact with each other. What is different about God's love versus what the world calls love?
Well, Jesus has perfect love, God's love. Mm-hmm. And Judas has imperfect love, what the world calls love. And Judas says all these things like, oh, I love Jesus, I'm his friend. And then he betrays Jesus. That's what imperfect love is. Like, it can, like, break hearts. Mm-hmm.
That's true. You know, a lot of times we see people getting their hearts broken, or people getting into somebody betraying them or walking away from a relationship when there was supposedly love there. That's the world's type of love. The world's type of love will fail. It will run out sometimes, right? That type of love will run cold at times. But God's love is supernatural. It's a divine thing. It goes beyond, it looks beyond faults. It forgives. It's powerful. What can God's love do in a family?
It can bring people back together in the family. It can...
So even if people are upset at each other, and even if people have said bad things to each other, if God's love enters into that family, you're saying that those family members can come back together again?
And closer.
And closer. I love it. So what about friendships? How does this play... How does God's love play into relationships? Can God's love be a benefit in our relationships?
Yes, it can bring them together also. Yeah.
So sometimes even friends that aren't even on speaking terms, haven't spoken in years, or they had a really bad disagreement, God's love can bring restoration.
Yes, it can.
I love it. So I know that you just have 9 years of experience in this, but how has God's love changed you?
There was another time where my tummy felt unsettled because I drank something.
And was it too much chocolate milk?
No. Then I told my mom about it, and she told me to go put my pajamas on. So I went and I was putting my pajamas on, and I'm the type of person who likes to pray quietly or like in my head, like more to myself. And I prayed out loud. I asked God to help my tummy, and the result was quicker. It was more immediate.
So you're saying that God's love changed you. It caused you to be more bold. It
Yes.
caused you to, instead of just praying under your breath or praying in your mind, the more time that you spent with God, it began to transform you and make you more bold. Is that right?
Yes.
I love it. God's presence and God's love changes us. When we get closer to God, love is a normal byproduct. I want to say that again, because so many times we get this mixed up, and so many times we don't understand this. It is a simple concept. The closer we get to God, His love will grow in us. That means if there is a lack of love in someone's life, they have not been spending a lot of time with God, because God's love will transform you. God's presence will transform you and expose His love inside of you. And that goes for kids and adults alike. You know, have you ever noticed that kids that get in the presence of God, they become more loving, they want to hug more, they become nicer? That's because when we get in God's presence, especially kids, they have less layers for God to penetrate. But for any of us, the longer that we're in God's presence, the more we become full of His love. So since you're up here with me, I want you to read John 3:16.
For God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. God gave His Son so that whoever believes in Him may not be lost but have eternal life.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, how do we know that God loved us? We know God loved us. He showed us His love because He gave. What did He give? He gave us the best gift we could ever give, the perfect gift, which is Jesus Christ. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can receive the fullness of His love. Now, God loves the whole world. He makes it available to all of us, but we don't all choose to receive it. It's only when we believe in Jesus that we can actually receive the fullness of what God has given us. It is in the acceptance of Jesus. It's in the acceptance of the reality of Jesus and what He did that I'm fully able to digest and appreciate and walk in the full measure of love. I can have a partial knowledge. I can have some type of understanding of God's love without accepting Jesus, but I cannot embrace and have that become a reality in my life if I don't accept who Jesus is and what He did. If I live in denial of God's greatest gift to me, I don't really understand and walk in His love. For me to understand and walk in His love, I have to accept the fact that Jesus does exist and in fact gave His life for me. My prayer is that through this series that we can see God's love more clearly and walk in it more fully. Would you bow your heads today and pray with us? Esperanza, I'm going to ask you to pray first.
Thank You that, Lord, that You keep us safe, and can You help us to come closer to You and experience Your love and share it with others.
Lord, we thank You, God, for every family, from the youngest to the oldest, God, every member that's listening to this right now. God, I pray that You would let them dive deeper into Your love. Explore something new about who You are and how deeply You care about them. God, I thank You, Lord, it was for the fierceness and greatness of Your love that You came to earth. You sent Your Son, and He died for us. Lord, I thank You, God, that as we think about that this week, as we take time to get quiet and just pray and have a conversation with You, God, that we would explore Your incredible love for us. We thank You, God, for Your love, and we embrace it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, Make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.